to continue this series, this great series that we're doing on how to live by faith. You enjoying this series? You getting something out of it? I do hope you're getting a lot. I am getting a lot out of this. How to live by faith. It's so important to remind ourselves that God wants us to have every single one of his good promises. He so wants that. He wants us to have exactly what he says in our experience, not just written in the book or in our heads, but actually in our flesh and blood lives, the goodness of God in the land of the living. But grace isn't automatic. This is the thing of it. I think more than ever, I realize I have to be very intentional to lay hold of his ability. It's a choice, actually. It's a faith choice. And we have these brilliant symbols I'm going to bring up on the screen for you. I used this in the last message I had, because faith starts in the heart, doesn't it? That's how all of us in this room got saved in the first place. We believed in our hearts. That's where faith lives and where faith needs to grow. But it had to be spoken out. You weren't saved until you spoke your faith out. We have to confess it. And then faith acts. There are steps to it. Faith has a walk to it. So we receive faith through hearing. This is revolutionary, this. Really. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, doesn't it? We receive faith through hearing, but we release it through speaking and acting. And I want to speak this morning on speaking. The power of words, because I think if we're honest, we can all fail at that point. If we're honest, we can all fail at any one of those points, and we do. He's faithful and just to forgive us, you know? But I think speaking, we can all trip ourselves with our words so easily. We pray one thing, ask God to intervene and help us, but then in the next breath or not too long later, we're pouring out a whole load of worry and unbelief. Or is that just me? It happens, doesn't it? And words aren't nothing. Our kind of, people call them throwaway words. There are no throwaway words. Words are powerful, actually. And words release two things. I want you to think about this morning. Firstly, they release information. Everybody knows that. That's how we communicate and get our point across. They release information, but they also release power. Everyone say power. Your words release power. So words, they're containers, really. Words contain life or death. Words can be like an accidental bullet that can accidentally kill someone. And you wish it hadn't happened, and you wish you hadn't said it, but you did. The only way you can resolve that is to go and ask forgiveness to the person, and to the Lord, actually. Proverbs, there's a lot of verses in Proverbs about words and the mouth and speaking. And Proverbs calls them reckless swords. They can be like reckless swords. So they're not just a means of communication. Words can create or words can destroy. Words can build up. We all know this, don't we? Words can tear down. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we can speak death words. We can criticize. We can be negative. We can speak worry words, fear words, words of doubt and words of unbelief. Or we can speak words of faith and words of love and words of encouragement. All the goodness of God. God's words. We all do a mix of the two, do we not? There isn't anybody in this room always speaks good words every single moment of every single day. We all do a mix, if we're honest, of the two. And that mix, it defeats us. We defeat ourselves. Naturally, we live in a natural world. We, of course, ourselves are natural people. We live amongst natural people who think naturally, reason naturally. And we have an enemy too. He's anti-faith. He will always contradict the words of God. We have a natural body that sees things and feels things. But if we will put the word in, it will retrain us. If all you do is see naturally, have natural perspective, it's just all going to come out of your mouth. You blurt out what you see and feel before you always even realize you've done it, don't you? But the word can retrain us if we allow it, if we give it the opportunity. And it will set a guard on our mouths. There's another proverb that says, those who guard their mouths keep themselves from trouble. Wow. And then another translation actually says, those who guard their mouths keep themselves from calamity. Well, I certainly want to avoid calamity and trouble, anything to do with that. So we have to do something about it, but we can't do it by ourselves. Has anybody tried to sort their mouth? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say a negative thing all day. You can't even get to lunchtime before something's popped out, right? We're going to go through quite a few scriptures here, but I'm going to ask you to stick with it because they're really important verses. Okay, so this is the book of James. It says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Likewise, the tongue also is a fire, a whole world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, you came to hear some good news in church this morning, right? So did I. That doesn't sound like good news. Well, the good news is, although no human being can tame the tongue, God can. With man, what is impossible, with God, is possible. But it takes the power of God to do it. It takes supernatural ability to sort your mouth out and my mouth out. Spiritual force. It takes the word of God. And most people don't take advantage of this. Gosh, that was a kind of tumbleweed moment there. But it's true. None of us take full advantage of it. If we change our words, we can change our lives. Not just the words we speak to others, but the words we speak about ourselves, or even internally to ourselves. I heard this a while ago. What I did to prepare this message, I went through my journals, over a few years, actually. I had a lot of journals. And I always mark, I'll give something a title, words or mouth or speaking. I'll ring it and I'll write it in a certain colour. And I had a lot on the power of speaking. And this thing was in one of my journals. And my gosh, it sobered me up quick when I read this. This person said, if you don't want to keep it, don't speak it. And then it went on to say, try saying, this is getting worse. And then under your breath, and that's the way I like it. And that's the way I like it. This is getting worse. About something awful, some troubles, some symptoms, some hardship. This is getting worse. And that's the way I like it. Well, none of us would do that. Not in your right mind would you do that, because no way would you want that. But what we speak, actually, we put ourselves under the power of our words. So things are temporary facts, but the word of God has the ability to change those facts. We're going to look at a verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting. The things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Basically, the point I'm trying to get to is the Word of God is the same in every generation, works in every generation, will until Jesus returns, but it's eternal. And the eternal Word of God can change the temporary, though maybe serious, state of things in our lives. The eternal can change the temporary. Something may be a fact in your life right now, but it's a temporary fact. And it's really helpful to see it in that perspective. And the eternal Word of God has the power to change that fact. But it's got to get off the page into our hearts and then be released out of our mouths. No matter how difficult or how impossible the situation you are in is, God's Word has the power to turn that around. Luke 1, I'm really hoping we can get this version because I want to read you the amplified version of this. Luke 1, verse 37 is speaking about the power of God and the power in his word. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power. No word from God shall be without power. No word from God shall be without power. Or impossible of fulfillment, words are containers. God's word contains life, his life, and God's words contain his power. That promise you're meditating on or speaking, in that promise is the power to fulfill it. It has the power within itself to fulfill itself, if that makes sense to you. But it's got to get off the page, into your heart, and out of your mouth. Off the page, into your heart, and out of your mouth. This has to be an intentional thing. It doesn't just happen. Because we're so tempted, of course, to confess everything we can see and feel. So we have to get a grip, I've written down here. I often say to myself, get a grip, get a grip. Because so often we have to confess, speak the very opposite of what we feel, or the very opposite of what we see. We can do this. If you're born again, you can do this. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to blurt out everything you see and feel. Greater is he that is in you. So you can agree with God. Or you can agree with the problem. Hopefully, we've got a slide for you. It's a brilliant diagram. Have we got it? Great. So, which will you agree with? That is a pipe. And on the one side, you have the promise, the Word of God. On the other side, you have everything you're feeling and seeing, the problem. In the middle is you, spirit, soul, and body. Really, that could say you, in the middle. You're thinking, you're believing, you're speaking. But you get to decide how it's going to be. It's kind of a two majority wins kind of thing. If you can see it as a kind of three-person thing there, you've got God on the one side, you in the middle, and the enemy and the problem on the other. Well, whichever side you agree with, it will win, providing you stick with it. Huh, that's powerful, that. And the valve there, you see, if you agree with God, it's like you open that valve up and you allow the power of God to be released on the problem. But it works in reverse if you disagree. If you disagree with God in your heart, if you're honest with your words, it's going to shut that thing right down and either limit him or stop him completely. Whose report will you believe? Now, remember I said at the start, he absolutely wants us, all of us, to experience every single one of his amazing and good promises. experience them. But we get to decide based on who we believe and who we agree with. On Monday, I had a really bad, in fact, I'm going to say it probably was a migraine. Awful. I felt absolutely awful. And I couldn't really do a lot. I just lay down, really, for part of the day at least. And I just wanted to make this point. I'm sure you have clocked this yourself. But if not, it's really good to know this. You have to pay special attention if you're tired or if you're in pain or have physical symptoms in some way, because you're far more likely to start saying all the wrong things. And if you do say the wrong things, you need to take it captive quick. Really cancel that out. And so I just lay there and I just said, Lord, you know, I'm very honest with the Lord. It's good to be honest with the Lord. I feel absolutely awful. He knew that, of course. I feel absolutely awful. But I'm going to exalt your truth over my body right now. I thank you, you're my healer. And I thank you, you're my strength. And I just began to speak out the first two verses of Psalm 18. I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. In him I will trust. Lord, I love you. I thank you, you're the strength of my life. I thank you, you're my rock, and I thank you, you're my deliverer from this headache. And just as I began to meditate on that, I can't say it disappeared completely, but actually, I fell asleep. Okay, so that was a really helpful thing. But it's just a case of, I'm going to lie here feeling sorry for myself, or am I going to start to lift, like we heard this morning, lift my eyes and look at Jesus, the solution for any issue. Whose report will you agree with? Faith comes by hearing, you see, and we need to hear our own mouth speak faith. Speak it. Speak to your body, speak to the symptom. Because symptoms speak and problems speak, and we need to talk back. You and I need to talk back to things. If something speaks to you, you need to speak back to it. Your bank account will speak to you. Your body, of course, will speak to you. And we need to talk back. Some of you may have heard of a Christian brain doctor, I call her, neuroscientist, called Caroline Leaf, Dr. Caroline Leaf. I've never read any of her stuff. I've just heard a couple of quotes of hers. But she basically explains how there's a part of our brain that responds to words. Of course, we know that. But that part of the brain that responds to words communicates to every cell of your body. Think of that. I find that amazing. So that, basically, when you start to speak something, you are naturally wired by God, who created us, to start bringing that thing to pass. Wow. We will have all noticed when we start to say how tired we feel. You don't feel any stronger or vital, do you? You kind of, you just, it's like this is a downward spiral right there. You will feel more tired. Of course, it works in the positive. He's the strength of my life. He gives life to my mortal body. You will naturally, because of the brilliant way God's made us, you will even naturally start to respond in a positive way to your own words. But we're focusing here not just on our words, but his words. Jeremiah 1 verse 12. We don't have this as a slide, but I'm just going to speak it to you. It says, God watches over his word to perform it. And actually, the amplified version of that says, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. We got to give him something to work with, church. Brilliant. And thank you. There you go. You've seen well, for I take that this morning. I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Well, if his word isn't in our mouths, he's got nothing to work with. Jesus spoke to things. Remember, he spoke to many things. He spoke to many people. But there's one account, famous account, most brilliant account of him speaking to a tree, the fig tree. And he actually said to the fig tree, may no one eat fruit from you ever again. And we're going to pick up the story here. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Obviously, he was surprised at that. Jesus, of course, was not. He knew that when he'd cursed it, that was it for that tree. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says or she says will be done, they will have whatever they say. He or she will have whatever they say. So day one, Jesus spoke to it, and on day one, in the roots, it withered. But they, of course, didn't see it until the next day. In the morning, Rabbi, look, lo and behold. And that's how it is for us. When we speak to things, it starts happening underground. We just need to believe that. Jesus didn't doubt when he spoke that what he said would happen. And we need to believe that the things we speak, you will have whatever you say. This works, of course, in the negative. It happens all the time, not just to Christians, but of course to non-Christians. Well, I knew I was coming down with something. I said to you, didn't I? I was feeling a bit scratchy. I'll have a cold by the end of the week. We laugh. We've all done it. Lo and behold, what happens before the end of the week? And I heard a really sobering story a couple of weeks ago about this man that even as a child, I find this shocking, really, but then if you consider there's a spiritual enemy, not shocking. Even as a child, he said, I won't live to be 40. As a young child, he just started saying that. And every so often, he would say it. Birthdays had come around, he'd blow out his candles and say, I won't live till I'm 40. How strange for a child to say that. It's got to be demonically inspired, hasn't it? Well, lo and behold, 2 days before his 40th birthday, that man died. He had whatever he said. He trained himself to believe through his speaking. My gosh, we have to sober up to the power of our own words and take our stand on the word of God and expect miracles. Come on, church. Don't lose heart in the time delay. Stuff's happening. The spirit realm stuff happens, aren't there, you know? Mostly there's a time delay between believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth, and seeing the promise fulfilled. And we need to hold fast to our good confession. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, think of it. They watched him go. Amazing. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Another translation says, our good confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He knew what it was to be in a human body, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're all on a journey of faith. My gosh, we need help. We can't do it unless we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. But if we go to that throne of grace, boldly go to the throne of grace, he understands. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our challenges. He knows what we're up against. And he will speak. He will speak into that. He'll give you a fresh word for that day. Or he might show you where you're going wrong. To think back to the images of the heart, the mouth, the feet, he will highlight, well, actually, you're not getting that right. A few weeks ago now, I was getting discouraged, really, with physical symptoms with my eyes. They are getting better, by the way, just to say that for the record, which is not natural. Defies the reports I've had. Anyway, on that day, they were particularly challenging, and I was kind of getting a bit discouraged with it. And I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need to hear something fresh. And he said, well, you're not putting my word before your eyes. You're just quoting it. Oh, my gosh. He never gets it wrong, of course, does he? I was like, I so am. I'm so just, look, there's nothing wrong. I'm doing a word on confession. The speaking the word is vital. But we have to feed on it as well. Because if it's just confession, it's just words and there's no power behind it. Kenneth Copeland has a brilliant testimony of what the Lord said to him one day. It was also to do with a physical issue. And he was just quoting the healing scriptures. And the Lord said to him, the memory of a potato never nourished anyone. You have to sit down and eat. I've been getting my scriptures back in front of my eyes because you need to be seeing them and you need to be hearing them. Proverbs 4, you will know this well, but gosh, we need to see it again. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Life to those who find them, health to one's whole body. The entry point to your heart and my heart is through your ears and through your eyes. There are gates, if you like, the entry points. That's how things get in, for good or for bad. Which is why the next verse, 23, goes on to say, above all else, guard your heart. For everything we do flows from it. New King James says, all the issues of life spring from it. They don't spring from your head. They spring from your heart. What's in your heart will get to your head, inspire thoughts that we take actions on. But it all starts in the heart, you see, which is why we've got to protect our borders. You don't have to do anything to be full of unbelief. This struck me the other day, reading this actually. You don't have to do anything at all to backslide. You don't have to be in gross sin or obvious sin. You just have to stop reading the word, stop getting it in front of your eyes and going in your ears. Simply that, just let it drop off and you will become absolutely, totally occupied with the natural and your faith won't work. And you'll wonder why. If I miss a day, and it happens occasionally, reading the word, I do notice a slight drift in myself. Not massive, but just slightly more naturally minded. Slightly less rule over my mouth and my emotions. Just slight. And I have learned the hard way not to let that drift continue. If we can have the slide up. So actually, before the image of the heart, we could put in eyes and ears. This is the process. It starts there with what we're looking at and what we're listening to. Who we're looking at, who we're listening to, because that's the way into the heart. What's in the heart will come out your mouth for good or for bad. It's the overflow pipe. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth will speak. And we read in James, whatever you're speaking, like the rudder of a ship, it's going to direct your course. This is vital, this stuff. It's so clear when you see it like this, isn't it? For me, it's really vital. If things aren't working that end, if you're not seeing the grace of God and answers to prayer that you're wanting and praying for, you need to run, like a car going through an MOT, you need to run some health checks. Is it what I'm looking at or listening to? Is it the state of my heart? Is it the stuff that's coming out of my mouth? Or is it the stuff I'm doing? Examine yourself, Scripture says, to see if you're in the faith. Or you can honestly say, by the grace of God, I believe I'm to the best of my ability, walking it out right, it may just be you need faith to persevere. Because our weapons, well, there's powers and principalities, aren't there? Ephesians 6 tells us, you know, we're waging a war with his ability, fighting the good fight of faith. But there's opposition. The last thing the enemy wants is you to see a promise fulfilled in your life. The last thing he wants is any evidence of God in this world. We're to be show homes for his glory. I pray that. Every promise in him is yes and amen through us for the glory of God. Wow. Let it be, Lord, through us for the glory of God. Now, I've got a bit off track here. I'm going to get back on track, which is speaking. Is this helping this morning? For me, it's a wake-up call, this. Because we all kind of know this, but we can slip or drift a little bit. Your outer talk, you have to watch. And if the word's going in, you will be more alert to it. But we also need to watch our inner talk or our self-talk, the words we speak within ourselves. You can't worry and be in faith. Last week, we heard that brilliant message, we can't have an unforgiving heart and be in faith. You can't be fearful and be in faith. And he knows all about it. He knows what's in our hearts, doesn't he? Everything is laid bare before the eyes to the one to whom we'll give account of our lives. But there's this scripture in Psalm 7, verse 9. I only found this the other day. It says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds." Now, he knows what's in our hearts and he knows what's in our head. Right now, I won't look at anybody. Right now, where you're sitting, he knows what's in your heart and he knows what's in your head. But we need to know, because very often we don't. We can kind of be blind to it. Now, he sees the good, but he also sees the bad. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but we need to confess it and get rid of it. When you confess your sin is not when he finds out about it, but it is when you get rid of it and all the effects of it in your life. So we need to get rid of worry, and we need to get rid of doubt, and we need to get rid of fear. And the only way to do that is to come back to meditating on his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not a rush job, this. If your mouth is directing the course of your life, and if what's in your heart determines that, and if it's only the word of God that can chart you to a good destination, my gosh, we need to give him the honor of giving him quality time. You can't read this book. I think I've got a slide for you. You can't read this book like you read any other book. It contains many of the same words that you will see written on any page, on any website, or any paper, an ink book. But those words have a whole different power behind them. They're living. Jesus says, "My words to you are spirit and they are life." You need a whole different approach when you open your Bible. Firstly, you need to humble yourself. We know that. There's grace to the humble. Secondly, open up your heart. He doesn't just want to work on your head. He wants to work on your heart and my heart. And we need to recognize that. This is heart surgery this morning or this evening. Lord, I welcome it. Sometimes it hurts. And they're the times to say, "Thank you, Jesus. I needed that." Finally, I'm sure there's many more things I could add to that, but I think they're a good three. Mix what you hear with faith. This is God speaking to you. Mix what you hear with faith. Faith makes it come alive to you. It is living and it is powerful. But when you recognize it's God speaking to you, oh my gosh, that's when faith comes. That's when it comes alive to you. Anyway, we need to speak it. When we hear him speak, we need to say it the same as he says it. Turn it into a prayer of thanks. Speak it over yourself. Speak it to your circumstances. Speak it to the enemy. It is written. Because truth changes facts. The eternal word of God has the power within itself to change those temporary, awful facts. Faith doesn't deny the problem. I've written this down. Faith doesn't deny the problem, but it does declare the power of God in the face of the problem. That's really good to know that. Psalm 103. I've nearly finished. Psalm 103 says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, remember, all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I want to tell you a testimony. I find this an amazing testimony. Kenneth Copeland, his mother was dying. He was sitting in the hospital with her. She was asleep in the bed. And he was just quietly sitting by her side, praying that she would be healed. I don't know what age his mum was at that time. I know she was fairly old. But the Lord broke into his prayers and said, She's not sick. He actually said, Well, you could have fooled me. What's wrong? Bear in mind, the doctors had said, a couple of days, max. What's wrong with her then? He said. And the Lord said to him, She's worn out. But remember I said in the word, my word, I'll renew her youth. He quickly turns there. Because he was schooled, he knows the word. He quickly turns to Psalm 103 and starts to read through those. Can we pull those back? Verse 5, Psalm 103, verse 5. He starts to read through those verses. And he said to the Lord, I love just kind of the open conversation. We need to have these with the Lord. He speaks, you speak, you speak, he speaks. Because that is what conversation is, two-way, not just you doing all the talking, right? Can I pray that for her now, he said. And he said, all things are possible for him who believes. So he stood over her, and he began to pray those scriptures. Well, lo and behold, his mum wakes up, revives, and went on to live two more years. He said to the Lord, I'm going to take those verses and pray them over my own life every day. And the Lord said to him, good idea. Right? Now he's 89, still in ministry, still flying planes. He renews my youth. But you see that verse 5 there? There's a connection between your mouth and your strength and your vitality. So the words we speak actually determine the strength, the energy, the vitality that we have in our physical bodies. I know there's all these jokes and you can read cards. And I can laugh at them even at times myself when I'm looking for a birth. There's some dreadful ones, of course. But, you know, these things about old age, you know, your hearing's gone, your joints are stiff, memory loss, all the rest of it. But we are very wise if we don't start speaking natural process in old age. You will speak yourself into stiff joints, hearing loss, memory loss, and all the rest. We have to say it as God says it and be really on it with our confession. I've got a slide for you, and for me this is really good to see. Real strength doesn't just come from a balanced lifestyle. It comes from your relationship with Jesus. Real strength doesn't just come from a balanced lifestyle. I'm not saying you can live out of whack, out of balance, mistreat your body, sow to all the wrong things, and just confess a few scriptures and expect things to go well. It doesn't work like that. You reap what you sow. However, we can have supernatural strength and energy through our relationship with him, hearing him, speaking his word out. It changes us. And this is how miracles come, church. This is not just strength, But anything you need, any area of lack or need or sickness, miracles happen through believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. Now, I've nearly finished. I found this little book this week. Anybody heard of John Osteen? Not Joel Osteen, that's his son. John Osteen. He was the founder of Lakewood Church. It's one of the biggest churches in America. He wrote this little book called There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. I found this book. I wish I'd found it at the start of the week. I found it at the end of the week when I'd pretty much finished my prep. Oh, but I don't even know if you can still get it. If you can, it's amazing. But I just want to read you a brief testimony in this book about a healing, because it's amazing. And I just wanted to read it as it's written. Okay, you ready? Okay, good. Right, the miracle you need is in your mouth. Confess it out as you believe it in your heart. I am reminded of a precious, talented minister of the gospel whom I know quite well. He became terribly afflicted with arthritis. He was almost unable to get out of bed and walk. He would hobble to a bath of hot water in the morning to get some relief so that he might begin the day. He bought aspirin by the case. His pain was so constant and intense, his knees and ankles were swollen as large as grapefruit. On and on I could go. But the words cannot accurately explain the picture of his condition. He loved God and was filled with the Spirit and sought to keep on preaching. One day, while flying to an appointment to preach, something happened. God quickened the scripture with his stripes. You are healed, to his heart. The word quicken there just means it kind of activated it, like a torch on a page. It's like, this is for you. It came to him, and he believed it. High in the air, he suddenly believed it with his heart. He could truly say and mean it, I'm healed. With his heart, with his stripes, I am healed. When he landed, the pastor met him, as he hobbled off the plane, and the minister said in sympathy, how are you? He looked up and said, oh, I'm healed. Well, the pastor looked at him like he was losing his mind. That night, he painfully made his way to the pulpit and stood before the people and said boldly, I would like to announce I'm healed. Think of it. He was still in pain. He was still swollen. Yet he knew in his heart, and he confessed with his mouth, he was healed. The miracle was in his mouth, and he confessed it out. He rapidly gained his health back and became perfectly normal. Today, he has nothing like that wrong with him and is being greatly used of God. Look at it. It's hardcore to confess the opposite of what you feel and see, but it's the very thing we need to do to get a different outcome. If you've had a diagnosis, I really encourage you not to continually speak that over yourself or to continually speak that over your child. There may be some situations where you have to say it, but I really encourage you to exalt the truth, okay, and just say, however, I believe. I'm not believing it's going to end like this. May the Lord give us wisdom how to handle. You know, because all the time we ask each other, how are you? And it's a nice thing to do. You know, we care for one another, but we got to be very careful not to just spurt out everything we see and feel, because we put ourselves under the power of those words. You know, I would simply say, I'm believing. If I'm having symptoms that day, I'll say, look, I have challenge. However, I believe this. I walk around a field with my dog, and very often it's quite early in the morning when the sun is rising, and I'll confess, the sun shall not harm me by day, nor the moon by night. And I'll tell you, my eyes are improving. It's slight, but it's not what it used to be. To the glory of God, and he watches over his word to perform it. Where am I? I'll finish with this. Pastor Colin, who's reading his brilliant book, The Great Revelation? Isn't it a brilliant book? Well, he says in this brilliant book, if you don't speak the truth, you won't walk in it. I think that's sobering. We have no hope of ever walking in it and seeing, like that man, the miracles that God promises if we won't speak it. So in the face of everything that contradicts, you confess the word. Confession is not for God, you see. I think sometimes we get that a bit confused. We're not doing it for him. It's for us. We need to hear faith. He has no problem believing. He is a believing, speaking God. And I was thinking about, you know, in the beginning in creation, if he'd have looked out with the sun on one side and the Holy Spirit there hovering, if he'd have looked out and said, wow, it's dark out there, nothing would have changed. It would have remained dark. He spoke the opposite of what he saw. He called those things that are not as though they were, light be and light was. So the eternal word of God can change anything temporary if we will get it into our hearts and out of our mouths. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know it's been a long word this morning. For me, it's been a sobering word. It's been a sobering word to even prepare. But my gosh, look at the power that's available to us if we will take advantage of it. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm quite confident this will apply to every single one of us, because it applies to me as well. If you know you've been saying some wrong things, just tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for blurting out everything I see and feel. I'm sorry for speaking those negative things, either over somebody else or over myself, over my circumstances. There's a miracle in your mouth. Miracles are not like lightning. Lightning's random. You never know where it's going to strike. And people think like that with the power of God. You never know what God's going to do. Well, God has laid it out very clearly in the scriptures. If you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, here's what I will do. So if you want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, to really get a grip on your mouth by the word of God, because that's the only way you can do it, tell him. Just tell him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you're our helper to do this. We're just going to pull up this verse, amazing verse, Psalm 19 and verse 14. It's a wonderful prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why don't you just take that and make it your prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know what's in our hearts and you know what's in our mouths. You know the word that's on our tongues before we even say it. But Lord, we pray that our hearts and our mouths will be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I pray for every single one of us here and anybody listening to this message, I pray that we will be quick to recognize when we've said something wrong, when we've said words of doubt and unbelief, whether it's over ourselves or over somebody else, quick to correct back to you, Jesus. Thank you for the power that's available, the exceeding greatness of your power towards those who believe. And Lord, we pray that we will do it your way. That's my prayer, Lord, just that we do it your way, that I will do it your way. So that we really will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Find your promises. Find the ones that relate to your situation and get them in through your eyes and your ears. Confess them day and night and God will make it good. He's not a man that he should lie. He watches over his word to perform it, but we have to give him something to work with.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.